a very special week. We have two Sefer Torah. It's a very long laning. Vayakel Pikudei. Two parashiyos. So you bar mitzvah parasha. And it's also parasha sachoidesh. Hachoidesh is elochem. Rosh Chodesh is on Thursday, this coming Thursday. And we have also a very nice long haftorah. A long haftorah. And so we have, Baruch Hashem, a very nice night. Many things are coinciding together. And Rav Mordechai said the most important thing of them all, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek. Now let's discuss all of these things converge together, and there's a lot of meaning behind what's happening this week. This week is I think you would say is, if you have to Yisrael Baruch, you stand up for a second, is the most standard year of the calendar. You know, when you have an Ibiyar, that's an exception. And when you have a regular year, there are always things in the calendar that little put things a little bit off. But this year is a very glatt. It's a glatt year to a degree, and it's in this year it's, you cannot ignore the irony. I don't call it the irony, but it's been arranged where we conclude. When you conclude something, it has a feeling, a mood of the end. It's over. The end. We conclude Chumash Shemos. We conclude the story of the Geula. Klal Yisrael were slaves in Egypt. This Chumash starts out in Shemos, where Klal Yisrael found themselves in Egypt suffering terribly, and along comes Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu recruits him, and miraculously he extracts Klal Yisrael from Egypt, takes them out, gives them the Torah, builds a Mishkan, and now they're on a beautiful journey to Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk concludes, Ki Anan Hashem Ala Mishkan. Look what a beautiful Pasuk. We started out in Hester Panim, in utter darkness, living where they were taking newborn babies, throwing them into the river, using them as bricks. And the parsha, the Chumash Shemos, concludes with the Shechina. Va'an ki anan Hashem ala Mishkan. Wow, there's a Mishkan. Amokom Hashos HaShechina. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was resting his divine presence. Yoimam by day, the Eish is a fire, Tia Lailabo, Le'ene Chol Beis Yisrael, in the presence of the Jewish people, the Chol Masim, wherever they go. I mean, what more can you possibly want? You mamish go Mikotze Elakotze. He got what he wanted. You see, you Hashem have to go. Exactly. Mamish, he got, you see that Hashem gave him what he wanted. We go mamish mikotze elakotze. We go from yogoin va'anocha to sosoin v'simcha. You cannot have a more, the bookends. It's a perfect story. Start out, you know, a miserable existence, and the end is, wow. And you can very easily be misled to think, okay, it's over, that's it. Along comes, you take out a second Sefer Torah, and you say, Ha Chodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim Hischadshus. There's a sequel. There's a sequel to this story. The cycle continues. The cycle continues. When you say Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, and you reflect upon this entire story, oh, okay, no, it's over, we're finished. No, we're just getting started here. Like, you know, they used to have in the old days in the movies, the wedding movies, at the end of the wedding movie, they still do that today? What?
The beginning.
This is not the end. It is just the beginning. I remember the first time I saw that, the first time when I was a little kid, I didn't understand what that meant. I really didn't understand what they meant. This is not the end. It's just the beginning. That's exactly what we're doing this Shabbos. We conclude the most glorious story, moments of history of Klal Yisrael. We say, Chazak, Chazak, V'nis Chazek, the end. And then, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim Rishru Lechem L'Chodesh HaShana Hischadshus, renewal, Chodesh Oviv, spring, Tchias HaMesim is happening in nature. It's in the air. It's this renewal. This is not the end. This story of Klal Yisrael, it's just the beginning. this is just the foundation, for Klal Yisrael to further grow and renew themselves and go higher and higher. The combination of these two events coming together is really very, very special. Now, furthermore, there's another thing, which is a subtle thing, but there's definitely has to be something very significant about this, and that is, this week is the first week of the year, the first time in this year, that we are doubling parashiyos. The sidra, the seder of the parashiyos is sacred. There's a year, we've been doing this for over 2,000 years at least. The Torah HaKadosh is the blueprints of this world. And we go through the entire Chumash in a cycle, in a yearly cycle. I know they used to do a three-year cycle, three and a half-year cycle, but it's not so poshut. We, Bavel, we, Klal Yisrael, goes through a yearly cycle. HaFoichba, HaFoichba, Dukulaba. And if Chazal divided over 2,000 years ago the Chamit Shei Chum Shei Torah into 54 sections, and okay, the Zohar often refers to the sections as Gan, the Gan, which is 53. Okay, that's an old topic of how do we reconcile our Chumashim that are 54 with the Zohar that says there are 53, whatever that is. But we're going through a cycle. Chazal designed it that you should lay every week one parsha. And it's very rare, and Baruch, it happens, right, very, very rarely. It has to be an Ibiyar, and the calendar has to work out just in a certain way. Last year, every single week you lay one parsha. It's very rare. Last year, that was an extremely rare phenomenon. And obviously, when they broke it up into 54 parshios, it was to take into account that year. A year on the calendar where you actually are going to have 54 Shabbosos in a calendar year. And okay, but this year we can't do it. So what do we have to do this year? We have to double up. Oh, when you double up, it creates doubling up two parashios. It's okay, this week we learn two parashios. No. You know, let's look at it like this. What's the ikar and what's the tofa? Is the ikar time, and we have to fit the parashios into time, into the weeks. That's what most people would say. You know, you have a calendar. We go through the day, through the week, through the month, through the year. You know, we go through. Oh, we have Chamishei Chum Shei Torah. We have to read it in 1 year. We'll fashtup it into the year, into the weeks. We're going to, the ikar is our time, and the Torah is secondary. And we push it. We push it into the time. No, that's wrong. That's mamish. That's a bad hashkafa. The ikar is, you're going through the parasha. You're going through Bereshis. It happens to be that when you go through Bereshis, it takes a week. Happens to be when you go through Noach, it takes a week. Now, sometimes Bereshis gets a little cut off a little bit. You're going through a week. The ikar is, when you go through a year, you're not going through time. You're going through parashios. Happens to be time bends, and it fits in to the Seder HaParashios. It's all a matter of perspective. If that's the case, when you now come and you read two parashios, it shakes you up. Wait a minute, we're going too fast here. That's not how it's supposed to be. Chazal made 54 parashios. We're not supposed to go and accelerate. We read two parashios. What are we doing? When you read two parashios, it's a game changer. It's almost as if it creates a new momentum in life. It's like ki bi'ita achishena. The geula can come two ways. The geula can come bi'ita, in the end of days, whenever that may be, and if we merit, achishena. We can hasten the geula. It can come before its time. The Torah is the blueprint of creation. The world begins with Bereshis, and the world ends, the end of days comes with Vizoy Sabracha. And we go through, and if we go through one parasha at a time, Be'ita. Be'ita. We'll eventually get there. The world, time doesn't stop. We'll eventually get to the end of days. But if Yezoicha, Achishena, the Gula can come before its time. This week, we're going into Achishena mode. When you read two parashiyos together, especially the first time, it's like you get a call. Where are you already? You were supposed to be here a half an hour ago. Put the pedal to the metal. Where are you already? It's like Hashem is saying, where are you already? The Geula is supposed to come. Where are you already? You're only up to Parshas Vayakel. Where are you already? Uh-oh, we bet it we're late. Vayakel Pekude. We accelerate. We step on the gas. And it's not a coincidence that the first time we step on the gas is Parshas HaChodesh. Gula. HaChodesh Hazem Lachem Roish Chodoshim Rishnu Lachem Lachodesh Hashana. And we begin to talk about Korban Pesach. And Ushmartem Es HaMatzos. Matzah, Ushmartem Es HaMatzos is Bichki Bichki Pozoin. Why do we eat matzah? Why don't we eat chametz? V'lo yachlu lehismameya. V'gam tzeda. Ki bichi pozoin. We're not just reading this week HaChodesh. We're actually reliving the experience, the emotional experience of chipozoin. The ultimate chipozoin is to read two parashiyos. What is the perspective of an Orthodox Jew? Is it, oh, there's time, and there's also the Torah, yeah, you know. It's like the little class things. What are Taryag Mitzvahs? Are Taryag, life, you go through life on down the highway. There are two types, I always tell you this, there are two types of video games out there in the world. There are video games where you're driving, and you have to avoid obstacles. And then there are video games where you're driving, and there are treasures, and you have to chap as many treasures you can possibly chap. Are the Tayag mitzvahs in your life obstacles or are they opportunities? They're opportunities. What's your perspective? The perspective are the parashiyos, the sidra, which takes us, and when you read two parashiyos, we got to get to the end. We got to get to the Zois HaBracha. There's an acceleration. There's a chipozoin. We're mamish reliving Parashas HaChodesh. It's the first time this year that we are accelerating by reading two parashiyos together. Okay, let's talk about another idea. In the Mishkan, we learned this week, we had a very interesting week in the afternoon. Those who come alone with us, anyone wants to come, we learned in the afternoon, Chumash Rashi Unkelis, 7:15. We're looking to recruit some new people. Mayor is very lonely at night. He needs someone to talk to. And we learned about the Mishkan, and it's really fascinating, the review of the Binyan HaMishkan. And Rashi, there are golden nuggets here and there in Rashi describing the Mishkan. And one of the things Rashi says, just to summarize, there are three, what was in the Mishkan? Why is there a Mishkan? The Mishkan is the home of Hashem. It is a permanent resting place of Hashem's divine presence. And that mokoy needs to be sheltered. There are basically three different items that we build to shelter Hashem on this. Hashem comes down to the earth. He comes down to this world. But Hashem needs to be sheltered. So how do we shelter Hashem? We build a Mishkan. The Mishkan has three parts. There are three different terms. There are the krushim. Okay, there are 48 krushim, which enclose the Shechina from three sides. And then there are Yerios. The Yerios are, they shelter the Shechina, they enclose from on top. And then there's a third thing. It's still open on one end. There is a Mosach. A Mosach, that's the term, a curtain that you put in front of the Mishkan. It was supported by five. It was supported, now that I'm thinking out loud, see, now that there's really, they're really four. Really, I really made a mistake. They're really four. There's a paroiches. We'll add it right now as we go along. There's a paroiches, which enclosed the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it was supported by four amudim, four pillars. And then there was a mosoch at the end of the Mishkan that was supported by five pillars. Now, of course, there's the chotzer, but let's not get into the chotzer now. The Mokoyim HaShroas HaShchina is in the Ohel Moed. That's what Hashem says, the place that I will meet with you and talk to you, the Ohel Moed. The Ohel Moed is where Hashem's divine presence is sheltered. And we are commanded to build for Hashem a shelter, to be matzniah, to protect in our, you know, in our limited understanding of Hashem's Kedusha. And there are four different words, four different types of things that we construct to shelter Hashem's divine presence. Number one, kiroshim, planks of wood, atzei shitim oimdim. Number two, yurios, because the kiroshim only shelter from three sides. On top, we shelter Hashem's divine presence with yurios. That's the term, yurios. There's yurios of material, there are yurios of izim. The others are just there to cover it, then they're not there to shelter the Shekhinah. It's there just to protect it, shouldn't get dirty. Yurios. And then in front, there are no kerashim, there are no yurios. We have a new term, we have a called a mosach. And then in between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there is a paroiches. There is another term. Four different types of items which shelter Hashem's divine presence. Kiroshim, yurios, a paroiches, and a mosoch. What is the difference between them?
How about kenayim?
The kiroshim are permanent. They're very strong. They're mighty. Rashi over here says that no one was able to put them up. You needed a Moshe Rabbeinu to come. He was like a crane, a caterpillar. He was a crane. Only no one could put it up. It was a miracle. Hashem says, don't worry, you just do your best and I'll help you. It was impossible to put them up. They're permanent, a permanent protection. The Urios, you can put them up, but they're heavy. And they uncover the entire thing, and they're tied down with pegs and cords. Mm-hmm. It's significant. The paroiches is less significant, but it's never opened. Maybe the kohen gadol sneaks in there once a year. There's a curtain. The curtain is not, the paroiches is not as strong as the Urios. It's obviously it's vertical, and you can, and the kohen gadol needs to go in there once a year. He has to somehow get in there once a year. And then there's the mosach, a curtain. The mosach was opened every day, at least twice a day. But it was closed because that's the purpose of a curtain. Every single person in their life is building throughout their life a mokoyim for Hashem. Every person in their life has a degree of hashroas hashchina. And you person has to protect this Shekhinah that Hashem has given him. And the Musa Haskell is, it's not one size fits all. There are many different dimensions of our life where we protect the Shekhinah with different degrees of security. Every person, when they protect Hashem's Shekhinah in this world, there are things that he does, the protection, the separation from the rest. What do you do? What is the Mishkan? The Mishkan, you're creating a separation between Hashem's divine presence and the rest of the world. Hashem is, the intensity of his Kedusha is locked up. It's sheltered. Every person has to protect himself from allowing contamination to destroy, to dilute, to damage the sanctity of his life. There are separations. Okay, intermarriage. You're not allowed to marry a guy. It's off limits. This is a permanent barrier. There are kerushim. The kerushim, you can't move. You can't budge the kerushim. You couldn't even put them up if not for a miracle. The curtains are on top that protect it from the top. It's very strong. They're anchored down to the ground. They're heavy. They're large. They're complicated. And they're tied with string and pegs to the ground. You can't move them. They're permanently there. And then there's a paroiches. The paroiches is supported by four beams. And obviously it was very secure because the Kohen Gadol only went in there once a year. And then there's something where you don't have to be so protected. There's a curtain. Well, you can't go out into the street and converse with a non-Jew and read the news. You read a news, everything in the newspaper is Kodesh Kodashim. You're not allowed to read the Wall Street or whatever. I won't get Michal's upset over here. You're not allowed to read the FJJ. Everything in the FJJ is kosher. Okay? You're not allowed. Of course, you're allowed to go out into the world and see what's going on in the world and take what's good and ignore what's bad. There's a masach. L'mashal, before I thought there were only three. Al ha-toira, the Torah, there are three pillars of a foundation in this world. Torah, avoida, and gemilas chasadim. How often, how permanent is the amud of Torah? Vehigisa bo yoimam v'layla. Torah is 24/7. It's like the crushing. Don't budge. Avoida is like the Urios. It's not as strong as the Kerushim. How often do you daven? Three times a day, and that's it. You're not allowed to daven more. You're not a bracha levatala. You don't daven more than three times a day. It's what's mavdil us from the tumah of the world. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. You connect to him, but you're allowed to go out into the world three times a day. Gemilas chasadim? How often do you do gemilas chasadim? Some people do it the whole day, but you're not obligated to engage in gemilas chasadim every single second of the day. There are tekufos. There are tekufos in the year when you devote yourself, spend a lot of time on gemilas chasadim, and there are times when you're not engaged in gemilas chasadim. Okay, a Hatzalah member doesn't go 24/7 on a call. Okay, and the person doesn't go and help other people every single second. There are times, yes, times not. Doing Gemilas Chasadim is your sheltering of the Shechina in this world. The Mishkan is a dogma. In the Mishkan, we are sheltering Hashem's divine presence. It is not one size fits all. There are different elements of the shelter. Kiroshim, Yurios, Paroiches, Mosach. Each word, each concept represents a different permanence, a different standard in separating ourselves from the Umos Olam. The laws are Torah. That is a permanent structure, like the Kroshim, that is mavdil us between us and the Umos Olam. Shabbos, no matter what, no working on Shabbos. These are crushing. There are things that you do occasionally, very often. They're also like the Urios. They're not like the crushing, but they're permanent. And there are things like the Paroiches. It's a permanent barrier, but not every moment. And the Mosach is even less. Everything has to be done in a proper balance, in a proper setting. Okay, let's go to another. This idea, I feel, is very chavav to me, this idea. We came across this idea. We learn in this week's parasha, Rashi says it in this week's parasha, not before, but in this week's parasha about the Kohen Gadol, he wore on his forehead two things, the tzitz and the tefillin. Rashi in this week's parasha, more so than in parashas Tetzaveh, describes exactly some of the elements of the tzitz and the mitznefes. We have a problem, Rashi says. There is competition. The Kohen Gadol must put on his head two things, the mitznefes, a hat, a very elaborate hat, which appears to be much more elaborate than the migbois, what the Kohen Hagid wore. And also he has to wear the tzitz. Now we know that the tzitz is a plate of gold, and on the plate of gold it says Kodesh LaHashem. It was embossed in the gold, Kodesh LaHashem Yudkei Vavkei, and it had to be fastened to his head. How do you fasten it to your head? It's not so clear. It's not exactly clear how. It says there's a psil techeles. There's a cord of blue wool thread that fastens the tzitz to the head of the Kohen. Problem is, if the hat is there, and the plate, and it's, how do you fasten this? And where exactly did you put the tzitz? Did the tzitz, where does it go? So Rashi, without going through all the details, Rashi explains. So Rashi says, the tzitz was not so big. It was only, whatever, two etzbois. And the tefillin, they had very small tefillin in those days, was two etzbois. So Rashi, after a long, very elaborate discussion, there aren't many Rashis in Parashat Yaakov Mekudei. The Rashi of Yaakov Mekudei are very, very bekitzer, because Rashi introduces it, I already told you everything you need to know. There's no need to repeat. You need to know something? Go back to Parashas Teruma and Tetzava. You'll find all the answers. But here Rashi has plenty what to say anyway. And he elaborates on some missing. And in the process, he basically describes what the head of the Kohen Gadol looked like. It was a very elaborate hat. And Rashi calls that hat a keser, like a crown. He doesn't call the tzitz a crown. He calls the mitznefes a crown. There was a plate of gold, Kodesh LaHashem. And in between the tzitz and the mitznefes, in between was a little open area where the Kohen Gadol would fasten his tefillin. So when you see the Kohen Gadol doing avoida, he'll be wearing the tzitz, the tefillin, and his keser, his crown called the mitznefes. Now how do you fasten the tefillin? How does the tefillin stay on your head? We all know. Has leather straps, and the leather straps come meet in the back on the oiref. On the oiref means the bone. Mul on the bone, there's a bone that sticks out, and ideally that's where the dalit, the shem Hashem, shakai, the shin on the tilin, and the dalit, the kesher, which is the dalit, the kesher shel tilin, and there's a yud on the tilin shel yad, okay? It's not so pasha. Wait. And the yavan is the dalit. The kesher is the ois dalit. And where does it fasten? On the oiref. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, on the oiref. Now Rashi in his discussions, and how did he fasten the tzitz? So Rashi, there were three cords. There were two cords at the end of the plate, which went to the back of the head. And there was one cord that was fastened to the center of the tzitz that went on top of his head. So this is what Rashi says, Farish. He takes all the pesukim, puts all it together, and the three cords of techeles met in the back, two along the side, one went on top of the hat. Can you imagine today if you have a nice black hat and you have some blue, a blue cord going on top, or the kind of white hat, and he had a blue cord going on top, and a very beautiful picture in the art scroll Sefer called Mishkan, with these beautiful illustrations. That's one of the biggest, one of the things that they did the best. They did that from the whole Sefer. It's one of the most impressive things that they've done, is the picture of they go through the whole Rashi word for word, and a magnificent picture of the tzitz going on top, three cords going, one going on top of the mitznefes, coming together and meeting in the back of the head and tied in a knot, a kesher. And Rashi says, where was that kesher? Mol or poi, right opposite the oiref. Now wait a minute. If Rashi told us that the Kohen Gadol wore tefillin in between his tzitz and his mitznefes, how did that go? How did the tefillin get us there? Obviously, they were ritzuis, like we wear tefillin, And the Dalit, the Kesher Shel Tefillin, where does it go? Shulchan Aruch, on the Oref. And Rashi here says that there were three strands of Tcheles that fastened the tzitz, two on the sides, one in the center that went up and came down into the back and met up with the two others, and they were fastened mul, his words are mul oropai. That's the same exact spot as where the kesher of the dalid met.
You just said mul and mul is
all right, so this is Jewish now, so don't confuse me with the facts. It says mul arpa. I think mul arpa means on the arif. I'm assuming now mul arpa means on the arif. Look at the picture in the art scroll book. I don't have the Mishkan book here in front of me. It's mamish, the spot of the tefillin. So wait. So they're basically they're competing for attention in that same exact spot. What's the big deal? The tefillin probably went on the skin. And the kesher was tied right there. What's it? It doesn't say that's to be tied on the. It was tied there. There's no. It's tied right there. That's not what I want to point out. I want to point out something as follows. What does it say on the tzitz? Kodesh laHashem, Yud Ke Vav Ke. Hashem's name, right? Everyone saw the pictures in the books. Kodesh laHashem. On tefillin, what does it say on tefillin? Chaz Rashi always mentions this. This is a very big topic. Shakai, right? Shakai, Shin, Dalid Yud. It's the middle letter of Hashem's name. Sheomar le'olamai Dai. We have here the shame Shakai. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to Hashem, Hareini no'es kivoydecha, show me kivoydecha. What did Hashem show Moshe Rabbeinu? The Kesher Shel Tefillin. Now let me give you a little hakdama to what I want to say. In the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Hashem complains to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says, Moshe, you're giving me a very hard time here. You're making a lot of trouble for me. I spent a lot of time raising you, saving you from all of your enemies. I recruited you now for 7 days, and you still tell me you don't want to go. Shlach nabi atishlach. Cut out the nonsense and let's move on. And the parasha begins, Chaval. You know, you're not on the madrega of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vo'ere el Avraham, el Yitzchak, v'el Yaakov, bekel shakai. Ushmi yudke vovke. Ushmi Hashem lo noida lohem. What it says? Loinodati lohem. Loinodati lohem. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they did not see the full picture. They only saw Shakai. Sheomar le'olamai dai. The name Shakai means it's not over yet. Dai, wait, don't finish the job. They only received promises. When Hashem created the world, Hashem used the name Shakai. Hashem told the world, stop! Enough! Don't go to the very, very end. Let man participate in completing creation. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did not see the end game. I made to them promises. I would give them Eretz Yisrael. They would have offspring that would be like the stars of heaven and the sand of the earth. They never saw it. They never saw the fulfillment. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to see it if you play your cards right. You're going to see it. Ushmi Hashem loy noidati lohem. They only saw Shakai. You, I'm willing to reveal Yudke Vavke. So what do we have over here in this pasuk in the very beginning of Parashas Va'era? We have here a contrast between two shemos. The shem of Shakai and the shem of Yudke Vavke. It's a pasuk. Va'era, El Avraham, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Bekel, Shakai. It's a pasuk. This is not Zohar, Kabbalah. Bekelsha Ushmi Yudke Vovke Loy Noidati Lohem. We contrast Shakai versus Yudke Vovke. Rashi, Shakai means promises. Yudke Vovke means fulfillment. MS. The midas amita shali, I promise, I deliver. They got the promises, they didn't see the end, and you're going to be zocher to see a fulfillment of these promises. Moshe Rabbeinu, last week's parsha, says to Hashem, Hareini no es kivoydecha. I want to see your honor. You know what Hashem says to Moshe? No. He basically says, Lo yirani odom v'chai. But Hashem does show Moshe Rabbeinu something. Hashem says, V'ri'ises acharai fanai lo yeru. There are many perushim as to what this means. I want to present to you a novel, a new perush of what this means. Drush. Hashem basically said to Moshe, no. You're only going to see Shakai. Hashem showed Moshe, Achorai, Rashi says, the Kesher Shel Tefillin. What is the Kesher Shel Tefillin? The Dalit. The Dalit of Shakai. The Dalit of Shakai is in essence the letter that brings together the name Shakai. Sh'omar le'olamoy dai. That letter I'm suggesting, it represents Shin, the Shem Hashem of Shakai. Moshe, you did not finish the mission. Now that Klal Yisrael did the Egel v'chulu v'chulu, I was hoping to show you Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what I told you about the burden. That's what I told you originally. I says, Vo'eril Avram Elitzav Yal Yaakov Bekel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo inodati lohem. Moshe now says, Hashem, show me Yud Kei Vav Kei. Show me the fulfillment. Hashem says, Moshe, you're not going to be zoichet either. After all of this work, the most you're going to get is to be just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The original plan was, you're going to get Yud Kei Vav Kei. You're going to witness and see the full glory. The Avos were not zoichet to that. Moshe now at this moment is okay, now I understand everything. The Avos only got Shakai. I want to witness the full glory. Hashem says, I'll show you the letter Dalet. What does it mean by showing you the letter Dalet? You're not getting Yud Kei Vav Kei either. You are only going to get Shakai. Just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe indeed did not merit to enter into Eretz Yisrael, even though that sin did not happen yet. But there are, you know, hints this was going to happen already. It was a way of, when Moshe was asking Hashem, Hareini nos kvodecha, he's really going back to Parshas Vo'era. And he's saying, now I understand that Parshas Vo'era, what you told me, that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they only had Havtochas, they did not see the full fulfillment. Now Hashem, give me the full fulfillment. Hareini nos kvodecha, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And Hashem says, Moshe, you're not going to get that. I'm sorry. You're not going to get more than what I gave to the Avos. The Avos goes, Bekel Shakai. Look at the Dalit on my tefillin. The Dalit of my tefillin represents Shakai. But now we're coming to the Kohen Gadol. What is the Kohen Gadol in that spot on the back of his head? What intersects the Orif, the Tzitz, and the tefillin? What does it say on the tzitz? Kodesh LaHashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. What fastens the Yud Kei Vav Kei to a person? The Kesher of the tzitz, the Techeles. The Techeles is fastening the Yud Kei Vav Kei. What else is exactly on that spot, that same exact spot? The tefillin, the kesher shel tefillin, which is mekasher shakai. In that one spot on the back of the head is the intersection of Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov bekel Shakai. And now the time has come to also reveal Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Kohen Gadol represents the end game. It not only it represents the complete picture. The Avos only had Shakai. In the time of the Geula, we have Yudke Vavke. The promise, the Mida Amitas, the promises. When you look at the Kohen Gadol, he was a sight of beauty. Mare Kohen. What is the beauty of the Kohen Gadol? The beauty of the Kohen Gadol is he captures the promises and the fulfillment of the promises. He has on him the tefillin, which is Shakai, and the tzitz, which is Yud Ke Vav Ke. The pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Vaera merges these two psukim, these two names together. Vaera, Avram, Elisav, Yaakov, Bekel, Shakai, Ushmi, Yudke, Vavke, Loi, Noida, Lohem. But the Kohen Gadol has the Shakai, the Tzilin, Shin, the Dalin, and the Yud, and the Tzil Shalyad, and has on this forehead, right underneath the Tzilin, the Yud K Vav K. In the front of the head, they're separate, but on the back of the head, they merge. They merge into that one spot. They intersect into that one spot. That's where they come together. You know, perhaps you want to go say Derech Drush, that maybe that's really what. All right, we'll leave it like that. That's where they intersect in that. Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, and Avram said to the Melech Stoim, Imichut v'at siroich nal. I will not take from you one iota. What is the chut? The chut shel tzitzis. What is the chut shel tzitzis? Tchelas. Siroich nal is shoe strap. The Ritzua Shel Tzilin. Now, Chazal Darsh Rem the Tzitz and Tzilin, but we can, no, this is Jewish, doesn't say this, you gotta be careful not to say apigrosis, but you have here the intersection of the chut of Techeles with the shoe strap. Avraham Avinu said to the Malki Melech Sodom, what? In Michut, what is the chut? So Chazal Darsh, the chut Shel Tzitzis. What's the chutz of the ikar chutz of tzitzis? Psil techeles. Psil techeles. What is the shoe strap? The ritzua shel tefillin. Im michut v'at siroich nal im ekach mikol asher loch. Bilodai. I only take from Hashem. Ein oid milvadoi. The kohen gadol in the back of his head is the words of Avram Avinu. In Michut v'at siroich nal. The Ribbo, I take from this world is Ein Oid Milvad, Bil Odai. Nothing from man. The only thing that I have in this world is from the Ribbo Yisholm. There is the Chut Shel Techeles intersecting with the Ritzua. The Ritzua. The Shem Shakai with Yud Kei Vav Kei. To conclude, last word, to conclude, the end of the parasha learns, there's a Musa Haskel in the end of the parasha. End of the parasha, short word. V'lo yachol Moshe lavoy el ol moed. Ki shocham olav he'onon. Uchvoy Hashem molei es ha-mishkan. Moshe wants to come close to Hashem. I want to come, talk to you. He can't go. Pasuk, mamash, I don't need a rash, a pasuk. I can't. The Amur He'onon is there. I can't enter. Well, you have to go to Rashi. Rashi says, I have to really go to Rashi. Rashi says, so how did Moshe enter? Emor Meyata, Rashi says, Kol Zman, Shehoya Olav He'onon, Lo Hoya Yochol Lovoy. Moshe could not enter into the Mishkan to talk to Hashem as long as Hashem's divine presence was upon the Mishkan in an open way, in the cloud and the fire. Nistalek, when the cloud went away, the cloud is Hashem's divine presence. Nistalek anon, oh, nichnas. Now he entered umidaber imoy. This is Musa Haskel. We all experience times of hester upon him, times of depression, times of... So we think that the only way a person can elevate himself up in his Avodas Hashem, the good times, when it's Purim, and the miracle happened, and you're dancing, and everything, I feel good. But during the times when it's quiet, and things are not so good, and there's hester upon him, it's a Zman Yerida. It's just the opposite. Moshe could not communicate with Hashem when Hashem was begolui. Hashem had to leave. The cloud and the fire had to disappear. Disappear. Where's the Ribbono Shel Olam? Where is Hashem? It's gone. Oh, the cloud. Now there's no cloud. There's no fire. It's V'anochi Hastir Astir Ponai. Now Moshe can enter and can Vayedaber. Can have the ultimate communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Musa Haskel in life is, don't think that the only time you can elevate yourself is only when, everything is good. Adarabah v'adarabah. The last pasuk came out, the last Rashi in Chumash Shemos, fatayges the whole Chumash Shemos. The ultimate gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was during the Shibud. Was during the Shibud when it wasn't Hashem's divine presence, was narrowed. One more time, this was Rashi. Kolzman shahoya alav he'onon, the onon is Hashem's divine presence, lo hoya yocholovo. Moshe Rabbeinu had no communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's only when nistalek he'onon, it's dark, Hashem is hiding himself, it's peekaboo, Hashem is hiding himself, that's when nichnasu medaber. That's the Musa Haskel of Chumash Shemos. I'm Rav Chananya.